All right, praise God. Good morning. I should change my outfit, huh? So it'd be like if somebody was a different guy that was singing. Put on a sweater. Actually, I need a sweater in here. It's kind of cold. I was thinking it was going to be warm, but it's a little cold. Well, my name is Michael Rodriguez, the lead pastor here at Christ Community Church. It's good to see you guys here. Amen. Beautiful morning. So, and some of you guys I see are bringing your jackets, right? You're learning. I'm telling you, even in the winter, in the summertime, that Cobija ministry would be a hit right now. the San Marcos or the Poncho ministry, right? It's going to happen. But listen, I was talking to a couple of people on the way in, and man, some of us have had an interesting week, you know, and I've had a very interesting week. My wife and I have had a very trying week, and you know, because you're a follower of the Lord or you've given your life to Jesus Christ, what you're going to find out is that you're not exempt of trials. You're not exempt from going through and facing some very serious battles in your life. And so today's message is inspired partly by some of the battles that we've been enduring this week. And the sermon for today is entitled, Winning the Battle. All right, Winning the Battle. Now, some of you guys know, we're going to get into it, but I don't know about you guys. There's some of you guys in the room probably were like traviesos when you were growing up. There's a room like this. Some of you guys were, I could tell. Some of you guys probably gotten into a couple scuffles in your life, a different kind of battle. Right, one of these. I told you guys my testimony last time. I've never been in a fight ever in my whole life. Not physical. A lot of spiritual battles, of course. I did have one battle with my brother right over there. And I lost. Look, you guys compare the sizes. And I shared with you guys, now here's the thing. He had a lot of compassion on me. It wasn't one of these things where he like just went out and wailed me. He hit me once in the stomach. I was like the Mike Tyson punch. I was like, fell down, started crying. It was over. I think I might have been like in third grade or something. But to his defense, it was my fault. I triggered it. We were playing, and then I got mad, and then I had remember who had the yellow wiffle ball bat? You guys remember those? Old school, that was your good old days. You'd buy it with the cone on top and hope nobody loses the ball or hits it over somebody's neighbor, and then you lost it, right? Then you play with like lemons or oranges if you were poor like us. Rock, man. Okay, that's a new one. Man, I don't know, Jesse. We're going to have to talk. But I got mad. I don't know what happened. I grabbed the yellow bat and I hit him. And as soon as I hit him, don't you know, it's like I regretted it. The minute I hit him, I regretted it. Isn't that what happens in life sometimes? The minute you know you shouldn't do something and you do it, you're like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. And he hit me once in the stomach and I fell and I cried. And then, of course, my dad probably, I think, saw him and then he got the worst of it. But that's humorous, right? That's a humorous kind of battle, a physical battle. Like I said, I've never been that. That was a lesson that I learned early on in life to say, you know what? These guns are not for fighting, you know? They're just for looking good right here. Joey's laughing. He's like, what? What guns are you talking about, Pastor? He's like, those are squirt water guns. They're good for watering the grass, okay? They do the job. Okay. I digress back to the message about battles, right? That sometimes we get into as we're going in our life, there's battles that we pick. There's battles sometimes that come our way. We don't even know what happened. Where'd that come from, right? And then there's just the spiritual battle that we're in. We need to understand that we have an enemy, that he would like nothing more than to devour our life, our family, our happiness, our joy, right? And so we're going to talk a little bit about that. But today, we're going to go back into the old house. We're going to go back into time. Is that like a song? Like, no. I had a lot of coffee today, guys. So we're going to go into the Old Testament, back beyond Matthew. We're going to be in the Old Testament. And we're going to be in the book of 2 Kings. We're going to be doing some reading there. And we're going to be, the chunk of scripture that we're going to read in today is going to be out of 2 Kings chapter 6. We're going to be reading verses 8 through 23. We're going to learn about the prophet Elisha. Not Elijah, but Elisha. Now, you guys are probably familiar with him. You guys have any friends that have, or kids that have family members that their name is Elisha? Anybody? That's such a cool name. You guys know what it means? It means God saves. That's such an awesome name. You know, I always say whenever I'm going through, I always like to look and it's like, oh, what does that mean? The word, the name Elisha means God saves. Now, you guys, every time I talk about and I use one of the books that has a major or minor prophet, I always ask you guys, what's the difference between a major and a minor prophet? Anybody? Major or minor? It just means the length. Oh, JD. That's right, man. Praise God. Look at that. The youth, right? Yeah, they got that sharp mind. It means that God used them to speak to the kings and to the people of Israel for a longer period of time. And so you guys think Elisha was a major prophet or a minor prophet? Let me give you guys a hint. It starts with May and ends with Jur. Man, you guys are smart. I told you guys when I came this morning, I spent all my time driving all the churches to Sanger for the most beautiful people. And now the smartest people, they're all right here. Okay, so it's Elisha, a major prophet, guys. He did God's work. He actually spoke on behalf of God. And the prophets back then, those were men that were anointed and called by God to share God's word, right? So Elijah prophesied for roughly 50 years. It's a long time to be doing God's work, right? So before we begin, because I always say the context of the scripture matters. I always say this, when you're telling a story, you always like to give all the details, huh? Oh, where were you going? Hey, what'd you have on? Where were you going? Who'd you go with? It was hot, it was cold, and then we went to, and then what happened? And who was there? Not chisme, but the story, right? Some of you guys are like, no, that's not me. The story matters, right? Because if I just give you something out of context, well, what does that mean? So the context of this particular passage is, it's obviously, the first Kings has already happened, right? Just no surprise. Second Kings is after the first Kings. But here's the thing. Have you guys known, so can you please throw the map up on the screen, Stephen? It's right underneath the title. All right. So there is the map. And I always say, I like maps, right? How many of you guys remember having the big old stand, what was it called? So you could buy at Walmart, they were like this big and had all the maps. The Thomas. Yeah, I used to have one in the back of my car. In case I would ever get lost. A bigger one. It was like this big. I was so proud of it. The maps matter, right? Because you need to know where you're going. Who are you talking about? In this particular passage, we're going to be talking about Elisha. And Elisha was actually a prophet for the northern kingdom, right? The northern kingdom of Israel, which is the top portion in blue. The bottom portion, I don't know if you guys know, is what? Judah. Oh, man. See? I tell you the smartest people were here. The bottom half is Judah. He prophesied roughly 850 years before Christ, so B.C. And about 100 years prior to his arrival, the kingdom actually split. If you guys remember that. So when you read the Old Testament, you hear the Israel. Israel is the top part. And Judah is the southern part, right? And what's also different about the bottom portion, the kingdom of Judah? They're all from the line of David. Man, I'm telling you, you guys are on a roll today. All of the kings from Judah are from the line of David. So pop quiz. Jesus is from which? Is he from the bottom portion or the top portion? From the bottom portion. Amen. So the top kingdom of Israel, they had 12 different kings. All of them were bad. Except for one. There was one, his name was Jehu. Who? Yeah, Jehu, that's who. Man, you guys are not. Wake up, guys. Go get another, 3 minutes and 33 seconds of more coffee. These people are falling asleep. Jehu? Yeah, that's right, Jehu. He was the only king of the northern kingdom that was actually pretty decent. The rest of them were all bad kings, guys. There was 12 of them in total. And I don't want to get too ahead of myself. But from Jeroboam all the way down to Hosea, all bad. And at the end of the day, they get disbanded. That's why you don't hear about them, right? But Elisha preached or ministered 850 years prior to Jesus Christ coming to the kingdom of Israel, to the top portion. He was, prior to him, there was another major prophet by the name of Elijah. You guys have probably heard him, right? And Elijah was called, and actually, I don't know if you guys know this, Elijah, when he was called, he was actually plowing the field, right? And he was called, and Elijah said, he called him and anointed him, and he put his sash on him to say, you're going to be doing God's work. Now, Elijah was about it, guys. Because you know what he did? The minute that he got called, he said, I'm not a farmer anymore. I'm doing God's work. Amen? And what he actually did was he burned his ox and his plow and all 12 of his oxen. And he had a mino carne asada. No, he didn't. But he said, I'm going to go do God's work. And that's what he did. And so you also notice, and I'm just going to say the last little tidbit of Elijah. Elijah was known, his mentor was known for doing 8 major miracles. But Elijah was a man of faith as well. And the one thing that he asked, even before, right, Elijah was getting ready to pass on the mantle from himself to his protege, Elisha. He said, what can I do for you? And Elisha said, let me have a double portion, not of wealth, not a double portion of success, not a double portion of money. He asked for a double portion of the Spirit. And so Elisha goes on to be known because he does twice as many miracles as Elijah does. It's awesome. That should be all of our, if God calls us, right there, wherever you are, just burn it. I'm going to do God's work. Right? There's going to be fires all over the offices everywhere. Workshops, construction sites, all on fire for Jesus. Amen? Amen. So today, that's the background. But one of the things that we're going to recognize and we're going to spend some time is that we have to know, first and foremost, that we are definitely in a spiritual battle. We're definitely in a spiritual battle. So I'm going to invite you to turn your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 6. We're going to pick up in verse 8. And if you don't have a Bible, you can use your phone, or you can also follow along. You guys there? Anybody? Amen. All right. It says, now the king of Aram was at war with Israel. After conferring with his officers, he said, I will set up my camp in such and such a place. The man of God, that's Elisha, sent word to the king of Israel, beware of passing that place, because the Arameans are going down there. So the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elisha warned the king so that he was on guard in places. This enraged the king of Aram. He summoned his officers and demanded of them, tell me, which of you is on the side of the king of Israel? None of us, my lord, king. But Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom. Go find where he is, the king ordered, so I can send men and capture him. The report came back. He is in Dothan. Then he sent horses and chariots and strong forces there. They went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up, he went out early the next morning. An army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh no, my lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Amen? Man, that's awesome. So the context of the passage is what? The very first verse tells us what's going on. And the first fill in the blank that you have, right? I always say you got a little bit of homework here. Winning the battle starts with recognizing the enemy's tactics. Winning the battle starts with recognizing the enemy's tactics. In verse 1, it tells us very clearly, the king of Aram was at war with Israel. And after conferring with him, going to different things, Elijah was going on and prophesying to the king to say, hey, if you go over here, there's a trap waiting for you. If you go over here, don't go over there. Guard your defenses. Brothers and sisters, first things first, you need to know. Whenever you're reading the Old Testament, you have to kind of look and apply, right? All the enemies, Pharaoh, the enemies of the people of Israel, the enemies of people of God, it's a metaphor, right? We take it. You have an enemy today, and he's at war with you today. Who is it? It's Satan. It's Satan, right? You're at war right now. You're in a spiritual battle, whether you know it or not. And that's why when we read, when we look at the book of Ephesians, it tells us to what? To put on the armor of God. To be prepared. You have to make sure that you know exactly what you're up against. Because if you think you're just going to go into a battle ill-prepared, the way that I went to battle ill-prepared against my brother, you're going to get your butt kicked every single time. I know. These guns. One of these days, Mala, we'll start working out. Those days are over, right? It's by recognizing the enemy's tactics. So what was the tactics that the king of it was Ben-Hadad was using? He was the king of Aram. He was trying to what? Trap them. He was going in and out raiding. Because if you put that map up again, Stephen, he's the king up to the top, where it says the Assyrian Empire, the king of Aram, they were coming into Israel attacking. And every time that they would come and attack, what Elijah was telling them, hey, watch out. Or, you know, like if you're in the street, say, hey, Trucha, they're coming. Or the little whistle. I can't whistle for nothing, guys. Some of you guys can. See, some of you guys are from the hood. That's good. Praise God. There, see? Be on the lookout. The enemy's coming. I wish we had that kind of whistle, right, in our life when we're walking through and say, hey, the enemy's coming. Satan is coming. Trucha. Put on the armor. Put the shield of faith and the helmet on. But that doesn't happen. We have to do it ourselves. You have to be very intentional to make sure that, number one, you have to know the enemy's tactics. How does he attack you? How he's going to attack Joey is different from how he's going to attack me. Why? He knows we're different. He knows that we have different proclivities. We're human. The flesh wants what it wants, right? Paul tells us that we're in a constant battle between the flesh and the spirit. And so some of us are going to struggle with different things, right? I mean, if the enemy wants to derail me, he just needs to put a Big Mac right there. Ooh, man. Alcohol, not my thing, you know? Like, whatever, but a Big Mac? That's the difference. But that's the desire of my flesh. Big ol' torta, burrito. But it's still the fleshly desire, right? And that's that constant push and pull. We have to know ourselves, right? If the enemy uses different tactics, and we know that the tactics he's going to do is what? We talked about this last week or 2 weeks ago. He comes to what? To tempt us. To give a thought. To contemplate it. To then finally fall for that sin. To create separation between us and God. We have to know his tactics. The enemy is a liar. His lies and deception. Right? And we have to make sure that we protect ourselves. So recognizing the enemy's tactics. In this case, what's happening is obviously, as we continue on through the scripture and the passage, right? Somebody's told him. Somebody said, hey, he's right here. Go find him. And that's where the enemy's going to come and try to attack us and try to get us while our guard is down. So here's what I'm here to tell you as well. Yes, we do everything we can to prevent. But inevitably, battle is going to come. And when the battle comes, then this is where we're switching gears a little bit. The first part we're saying is recognize the tactics the enemy uses. And this is where it comes, you have to do a self-assessment, right? If you know that you struggle with lust of the eyes, then you better be really careful allowing to come in. If it's through hearing, it's through relationships, it's through circulating around different people that you know you shouldn't be around, right? You got to cut that off. And say, Jesus will tell you straight up. He says, man, if you're going to do that, if you have the lust of the eye, if you're going to be lusting, for example, after a member of the opposite sex, he tells you to what? You better poke that eye out. Right? That's how serious it is. We have to recognize the tactics. The other one tells you too, it's better that you chop off the hand than for you to continue on with that desire that ultimately brings death and destruction to our family and to our lives and to our own walk. So recognizing the tactics. But we're in the middle of the battle. We have an option. And as we go through the scripture today, what we see is that they've already caught him. they said, hey, he's so-and-so. Let's get him. Let's try to catch him what? Catch him slipping. Before the guards are there. And let's surround him with forces, right? And so what ends up happening is that as they're in Dothan, they come and chariots and men and an army surrounds where they are, and they're not prepared. And so we have a decision to make. Because just like the same way that the two of them, you'll see two people were there. The servant and Elisha were there. When we're in the middle of the struggle, in the middle of the battle, we have a decision to make too. Now the first one that we see is the servant responded with what? Let me tell you guys, I guess I should give you guys a fill in the blank. In the middle of the battle, we can respond with fear or with faith. In the middle of the battle, we can respond with fear or with faith. And if you look at verse 15, it says, when the servant of the man of God got up and went out early out the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. And he says, oh no, my Lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. Now you think that that is like confident? He's what? He's scared, huh? He's scared. He's afraid. He's not sure what's going to happen. A bunch of chariots and horses, and they know that they're not there to like have a party or anything. He knows what? That they're the enemy. So he's afraid for his what? He's afraid for his life. Any of you guys been in a situation like that? Where you know you're in a place where you shouldn't be, and there's that fear that comes? Yeah. And so the servant responds with fear, but Elisha, right, responds with faith. Elijah responds with faith. We see in the scripture it says, don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Amen. What's he talking about? He's talking about the Lord. He's talking about the army of the Lord. He's talking about the angels that come down and protect, right? That's a whole other message in itself about how God has sent angels to come down and to fight on our behalf. You guys have heard, that's what I always say, it's a little teaser for the future. Keep coming back. I might preach on that one. We have the same decision to make. When we face the spiritual battle in our own life, where we're in the middle of the situation, you heard the bad news. You got that scary diagnosis. You got the phone call that somebody's in the hospital. What is our first emotion? Your first emotion is to what? Anybody? Is it to be like, you're like Elisha? You're like, don't fear. The Lord, there's more of them with us. God is with us. Is that your first emotion? Usually not, right? What are you usually gripped with? Panic, fear, anxiety. Almost like you start to see things. Have you ever been like that kind of bad news? You're like, do you know what I'm talking about? Right? We're going to go through that. In life, we're going to have battles, guys. In life, we're going to have struggles. In life, we're going to have heartache. But Jesus, guys, but Jesus gives us the strength, the confidence to persevere, to have victory over those battles that we're going to face. And as we continue and we develop our relationship with Jesus Christ, you'll start to see that what used to be a major kind of thing, you grow in your confidence. You say, Jesus got me. I don't have to worry about this. I'm not going to panic. I'm not going to fall. I know who I belong to. I'm a child of God. See, Elijah responded differently. Man, you would respond differently if God was talking straight to you, right? Amen. Guess what? You can respond differently. A lot of times you've heard me say, man, I wish I was alive, or I wish I could be a prophet or something, like where God speaks to me. I see you're going to prophet. No. You know, but we always say, if you want to hear God talk to you, I always say, read the Bible out loud. If you want to hear God talk to you, we'd say, pray and listen to the still, quiet voice. Is that what I'm talking about? That's the Holy Spirit, guys. And you can hear it. I'm telling you. God is not a liar. He doesn't leave us or forsake us when we're in the battle. When we're in our greatest need, I'm telling you, when you are in your greatest need is when God shows up. When you're in your biggest battle, because, you know, in your strength and ability and your wit and your smartness and your talents and your finances, if you could do it on your own, guess what? You don't need God. But when you're in the middle of the struggle, in the middle of the battle, when there's nothing else but to hold on to Christ, hold on to God, is when he shows up the most. And that's when our faith, right? It's almost like, whoa, your faith is renewed. And all the things that you thought were important, you find out that they're just not really that big of a deal. Because we got Jesus. We got have God. And then our faith is strengthened through that. Amen? That's why Elijah responded the way he did. Because he was a man of God. And so how do we respond to it? We have a decision to make. It's okay. Our emotional response is that we're going to be afraid. And then remember who you belong to. You belong to the King of Kings. You belong to the Lord of Lords. And he has the final say. He is sovereign. He is good and he is for us. And that's why Elijah responds differently. Number three, in our battles, we can trust God to provide divine intervention and deliverance. In our battles, we can trust God to provide divine intervention and deliverance. What does intervention mean, guys? Anybody? He intercedes. He gets involved. Right? I don't know about you, but if you ever, did you guys grow up watching WWE when you were small? Remember? WWF. Yeah, see? They had to change the name. Yeah, that's even more old school, right? Those were the good old days. The Hulk Hogan, Andre the Giant, the Junkyard Dog. We're really old. And in those, they would have, I would like it because they would do the singles. And at the end on Saturdays, they would do the one tag team match, huh? And whatever was going on, one guy was getting beat up. And then he was like, he would try to crawl. Remember that? He's like, the crowd's pumping him up. And he's like, I can't reach. And then finally he dies. Slow motion. And he tags his partner. And his partner comes in all what? All energized, ready. And he starts beating everybody up, right? That's awesome. We're like that person that's getting beat up sometimes, guys. We're like, man, let me just die. Let me just tag Jesus. Oh, and he comes in and starts whooping some behind. Amen. That's our testimony, guys. That's our testimony. Everybody in here, we have a thing on once a month. We call it Testimony Sunday. We encourage people to come up here and say, man, I was getting whooped like this, but Jesus. This is what was going on in my life. I was going through a struggle, but Jesus showed up. And then I trusted Jesus. And he transformed my life. And he got me out of that pit. That's our God. We can depend on him. And we can trust that God is going to provide a divine intervention. And then what? Even more than just intervention. He's going to deliver us. Because we don't want it just to be like, just tag me in. And then I get tagged back in. Then I'm getting beat up again. Right? He comes in to intervene. In that moment, but he also comes in to deliver us from that battle. How many of you guys have been delivered from a battle? How many of you have been delivered from sin and an addiction? I'm raising my hand. Jesus has come in and done some massive rework right here. It's only by God's grace, guys. Not by anything that I have done, that I'm so awesome and this and that. No. It's by Jesus and what he's coming to do in my heart and what Jesus comes to do into the lives of every person that's here when we put our faith in him. He comes not only to get involved and to intervene, but he comes in to deliver us. You know what that feels like? That means, oh, you're free. The chains of anxiety and depression and the battle that you're going through are broken. You know what it means like to really to have that kind of freedom? When you're chained to lust, chained to pornography, chained to all these things, chained to addictions, to drugs, to all these things. And then Jesus says, I came to set you free from that. That thing that you thought was that was going to make you, it came to set you free. Man, that is awesome. Those of us that have been delivered, man, you know what exactly what it feels like. You can breathe. And God comes in to give us that kind of victory. Victory over death even. Victory over our problems, our heartaches, broken relationships. Jesus is the restorer of all things. He comes in to intervene and to deliver us. This week I was telling you guys, we went through a struggle, right, with one of our kids. You know, our boys are on the spectrum. You guys know that. You know, you guys have been around us. We had a real heartache this week. We got one of our boys was rejected from one of the school that he was going to. And it threw us for a whirlwind, almost like Finney will give her testimony one day. But we couldn't sleep. We were worried. We were panicked. And I kind of told Steph, I said, hey, what was my devotion about today? God is with us. Who can be against us? If God is with us, who can be against us? And I'll just tell you guys, there's a good ending to it, but I'll come back to it. You're going to face a struggle. You're going to face a challenge. Well, we can trust again that God will provide intervention and deliverance. And where we see that in this scripture is in verse 18, it's written, as the enemy came down toward him, Elijah prayed to the Lord and said, strike the army with blindness. So he struck them with blindness as Elijah had asked. Right? It was a different kind of situation and circumstance. He needed a miracle to happen. We've, all of us, I'm telling you, there'll be times in your life where you need God to do a miracle and he shows up. I mean that. I've experienced it. In this case, Elijah needed a miracle, and his miracle, how God intervened, is they couldn't see. We're going to keep reading. In verse 17, I'm going to finish that chapter, 17 to 23, and it says, and Elijah prayed, open his eyes, Lord, that he may see. And then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked, and he saw the hills full of horses and fire all around Elijah. As the enemy came down toward him, Elijah prayed to the Lord, strike the army with blindness. So he struck them with blindness, and as Elijah had asked. And Elijah said, this is not the road, and this is not the city. Follow me, and I will lead you to the man that you are looking for. And he led them to Samaria. After they entered the city, Elijah said, Lord, open the eyes of these men so they can see. Then the Lord opened their eyes, and when they looked, And there they were inside Samaria. When the king of Israel saw them, he asked Elijah, shall I kill them, my father? Shall I kill them? Do not kill them, he answered. Would you kill those you have captured with your own sword or bow? Set food and water before them, they may eat and drink and then go back to their master. So he prepared them a great feast for them. And after they had finished eating and drinking, he sent them away, and they returned to their master. So the bands from Aram stopped raiding Israel's territory. Amen. What was happening, I go back to the scripture, right? They're surrounded. Elijah says, there's more of us that are with us than are with them. He prayed, and then the servant's faith, right? God answered his prayer. And then the servant saw exactly what Elijah was talking about. And he said, prayed a second prayer, and he asked for the army to be blinded. Not fully blinded, but partially blinded. And Elijah goes out and he says, who are you looking for? Right? We're looking for Elijah. Oh, he's not here, but I'll tell you where he is. Follow me. Sígame los malos. somebody got that. And he led them straight into where? Into Samaria. Now, if I put the map up again, Samaria has a little star. Samaria, the star, even when you guys remember taking geography, the little star on the map usually means what? The capital. Man, I'm telling you guys, the most beautiful, smartest people right here in all of Sanger. Samaria was the capital of the northern kingdom. So he says, who are you looking for, Elisha? I don't know that guy. I mean, I heard of him. I heard he's pretty handsome. But no, follow me. I know where he's at. And he takes them straight into the capital. And then they realize, right, God allows them to open their eyes. And they're like, oh, we're in the capital. And the king says what? He says, well, what do I do now? I have the enemies. These are the guys that are coming in into my lands and killing people and raiding and doing different things. And so the king says what? Should I kill them? Do we kill them? The flesh, huh? That's my enemy. And what does Elisha say? He says, would you do that? Would you kill somebody that you took captive? No. Why? Because they didn't earn that victory. See, in our life, when God shows up and delivers us, he gets the glory. Not us, not the king. The king says, should I kill him? All bad. Now that you have him right here, you're all bad. We're going to kill him, huh? Let's do something. No. Elijah says, no, we're not going to do that. Would you do that normally? No, you wouldn't. But here's something that Elijah does that's really interesting. Elijah says what? Let's have a good old carne asada. A big old party. Let's eat, big meal, bring them water. Let's have a feast. Now, this is where it gets tricky. Number four. When we go through battles, when we have victory, God asks us to show compassion, kindness, and forgiveness because the victory belongs to him. Victory is not yours, brothers and sisters. God asks us to show compassion, kindness, and forgiveness because victory belongs to him. See, you're going to have some battles, spiritual battles. You're also going to have battles with people in your life. Friends, family, relatives, loved ones, even your own spouse. And sometimes you might want to say, you think you got the victory. And you want to do what? You want to be like the king. I was right. You see, I told you. Why didn't you listen? I was right. That sound familiar? Sometimes, huh? Be careful, man. Don't say amen all loud because I don't want you to call me later and say, man, I need some counseling now. No. God is going to give us when we're going to have conflict in life. We're going to have conflict in life. And God is going to give us sometimes. God gives favor, gives us victory when we do it his way. And then we have a decision to make. We can respond a certain way. When you're attacked, what's the first thing? You're afraid, and then you're also what? It starts with, ah, it ends with, grief. Man, I'm telling you. You get mad, right? Your emotional response is to say, no, it depends on the nature of it, but sometimes your secondary emotion is what? Is anger. Here's these guys, right? The king wanted to say, hey, these are the guys, what do we do? Should we kill them now? They're here. These are our enemy, our real enemy. They're coming in and raiding and doing all kinds of stuff. And Elisha says, no. No. We have to show them compassion and kindness. And we have to what? Forgive them. Right? Why? Because once upon a time, every single person in here was God's enemy. Every single person in here was sinning against God. And we haven't arrived yet. Every person in here still sins against God. We're thankful that his grace and his mercy is renewed to us daily, second by second, moment by moment, when we call upon him and we ask for forgiveness and repentance. But we're called to be Christ-like. Christians, little Jesuses, little Christians, right? Little Christians. And so does that mean that we lord it over when we're right? Well, I was right. See, I told you, Joey, I was right. Ha ha. Sound familiar? do that to anybody in your life? Remember who you're fighting to. It's a spiritual battle. When we fight with our loved ones, especially our spouses, what are we doing? Jesus says, man, you're like one flesh. That's like me sitting here and then like this, my right arm, punching my left arm all day and say, I won. That's so dumb. Punching my face. I won. You didn't win. You're a dummy if you think you did. That's the message for, that's another time. Men's group. No, God, we're one. One flesh, one body, one church, one people. So it's not that we're going to have victory over each other like that. God wants us to be filled with compassion and with kindness and with forgiveness. The same way that when we were apart from Him, He showed us compassion and kindness and forgiveness, even unto sending His Son to die the worst death for our salvation. In Romans 8:31 verse 32, it kind of summarizes this entire thing. It says, what then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son gave Him up for all of us. How will he not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things, including victory over our battles, the things that we face? Are you in a battle that you need to trust God in right now? You got to pray. If you're in the middle of the storm, you got to trust that God is going to give in His power, He's going to deliver and enable us, right, to overcome the fear and to see the deliverance and intervention because He's good. We have to pray. We need to share the burden. Here's the other thing too, right? The enemy, one of his main tactics is to isolate you and then make you feel like you're the only one. You're the only one. If you would have done this, but look at you. You messed this up. You could have done that. Isolate you into more anxiety and depression. Those are the lies from the enemy. Forgiveness comes from God, but healing and getting through it comes from the body of believers. It comes from sharing with people that are Christ focused. Don't go and share your heartache and your pain to somebody whose life is more messed up than yours, because misery loves company. And you've got to be careful who you share that pain with, who you go to with that, because misery loves company, I'm telling you. But in the body of believers, we come alongside each other. We pray for one another. That's why we have men's group. That's why we have women's group. That's why we have our community groups, where we can share, laugh, cry, whatever, be ourselves, walk away encouraged, get a little bit of the word. That's why we come together here. You guys need to know, my main job is to take care of you guys. Mean it. If you don't have my number, you need it. Not because I'm like a holy roller, because I want to be praying for you. I want to give you the scripture and support. We need to come alongside. If you don't have it, it's 859-1098. I'm not here to take your burdens. I'm here to encourage you to pray, to be alongside. Jesus is the one that heals. Jesus is the one that can transform lives. I can't. So I'm not going to put you on my back and carry you to Jesus, but I'm going to point you. I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to pray for you. And that's what we all should be doing for each other. 859-1098. Text me, call me. I mean that. And I will tell you right now, you need to know this. I will minister to men, but not to women. Right? That's my spouse. I mean that wholeheartedly. Because the enemy is a liar. You guys need to know that. We have women's group, we have men's group. We're here to encourage each other. We're called to do this life together. Right? But God, what should we say then? If God is for us, who can be against us, guys? Let's pray. Stand up. Father God, we come before you in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for this morning that you've given us, that you've given us life, the ability to gather, to meet, to worship, to be encouraged by your word. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your love for us, Lord God, and for the great reminder that we are in a spiritual battle. But you give us victory, Lord God. You give us victory when we just have to call out to your name. We have to surrender it to you. And when we're in the middle of battle, we have a decision to make. Are we going to be afraid? Or are we going to remember who we belong to? When we put our faith in you, Lord Jesus, your word tells us that we have the opportunity and the privilege to be called children of God. That you came to make us whole and right. And that you fight for us. Lord God, time and time again in the Old Testament, and what we see is that you always tell them, you see it in Scripture to say, do not fear. Your Lord will fight for you. Do not fear. Be still and know that I am God. In our own strength and our own ability, we're going to lose this battle. Our enemy is much more crafty than us. Our enemy is going to try to tempt us and cause us to stumble and fail. But in you, Lord Jesus, we have victory. And at your name, the enemy has to flee. At your name, minions have to flee. And thank you, Lord God, that when we're gathered here, your word tells us that when two or more are gathered in your name, the presence is there, Lord God. That's when we come together, Lord. It's not that I could pray at home on my own. No, you need to be in the body of believers. How can we do the 52 one another's if we're not connected to the body? So Lord, continue to help us to show up for one another, to show up for service, to show up for community group, to show up for men's group and women's group and C3 Next Gen for the youth. We need each other. But more importantly, Lord God, we need you. Every single day of our lives, we need you. We don't want to be disconnected from the vine. Your word tells us that we're connected to you, that you're in us and we're in you, and then we can bear fruit that lasts. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the opportunity and the privilege it is to know you and to serve you. Lord God, some of us this morning, we've come and we have a heavy heart. We're in the middle of a battle. Or we don't know it, but we're going to maybe walk into one. We can do all things through you, Lord God. You give us the strength. We can do all things because you're the one that gives us, Lord. Your word tells us even more abundantly than we can imagine. And there's testimony after testimony filling this room about how we were in that battle. We didn't see it, Lord God, but how you have provided even far more than we could have imagined. You are so good to us, Lord God. While we were your enemy, you've been so good to us. And if you're in the middle of the battle right now and you don't know who Jesus is, I'm going to tell you what. You're going to get whipped. You don't have to go through the struggle alone. This morning, if you felt the prompting of the Holy Spirit, if you felt Jesus knocking on your heart, and you're saying, yeah, I'm going through the struggle. I'm going through the battle. I don't know who this is. I don't know what you're talking about, but I feel the Holy Spirit moving in my heart. I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer. It's a prayer of salvation. And we always say in the Bible, you don't see a prayer of salvation. You see sinners praying. And that's all of us. And that's all this is a simple prayer to say, I'm sick and tired of trying to do this battle on my own. I'm sick and tired of getting my butt whipped by the enemy. I'm sick and tired of trying to do this on my own. I'm sick and tired of this anxiety, of this depression, of this fear. I'm just sick and tired, and I need you, Lord Jesus. If you're feeling that this morning, follow me in this prayer. Lord Jesus, I need you. Lord Jesus, I'm going to surrender this battle over to you. Lord Jesus, I recognize that without you, I can't have the victory. But more importantly, I recognize, Lord God, that I have a desire for you. I recognize that I need to be forgiven of my sins. I recognize that I am a sinner. And Lord Jesus, more than anything, I want you in my life. I want to surrender this to you, Lord God. And I want to do everything I can to live my life for you from this day forward. Listen, if you pray that prayer in earnest, this morning, the angels are rejoicing in heaven. This morning, today, salvation has come. And There's no greater gift that you can receive than a relationship with Jesus Christ and God. If you prayed that prayer this morning, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you are good and you came to make us whole. Thank you for your forgiveness that is given to us daily. Thank you for your sacrifice on the cross for us, Lord God. Lord God, you know our hearts, Lord. We are so thankful. Everybody in here has a need, but our greatest need is to have a relationship with you. And then everything else will be added unto us. Your word tells us that. So, Lord God, you know the petitions of the heart of your people here. I can pray corporately, Lord God, that you meet us, Lord God. But you know the petition of the heart of every person here. Lord God, meet them at our need. We have to have relationships mended. Meet us there. We need to forgive somebody that's hurt us. Meet us there. We need to have compassion on somebody, help us to have compassion. Lord God, if we need to ask forgiveness, help us to ask and to humble ourselves to make that relationship whole. Cast our pride aside. Cast our hurt aside. Lord Jesus, you came to give us a new heart. Lord God, meet us at our need. Lord Jesus, we stand in the gap as well. We pray for our family and our friends who don't know who you are. We pray for our family and friends that are steeped in anxiety and depression and addiction and sin, Lord God, because I think they're living their best life. Lord God, you came to give us the eternal life, the abundant life in you, Lord Jesus. Help the scales fall off from the eyes of our loved ones and friends and families who don't know who you are. Help the scales to fall and to realize that sin just leads to more death and destruction and pain. But you, Lord God, came to give us peace, to make us whole, to give us joy, to give us life, life, eternal life, Lord God. That's our prayer this morning, Lord God. We have victory, Lord God, in your name. And we know that you are good and that you are going to intercede and that you are going to deliver us, Lord God. Help us, Lord God, to be the hands and the feet, point more people to you, Lord Jesus, to point more people to you. You are the healer, the protector. You are the great I am. You are so awesome and so good. Lord God, protect us, watch over us, guide us, Lord God. Thank you again for who you are. Lord, we love you. In Jesus Christ's name.